Welcome, guys, to the Gridiron Gurus. I'm your host, Keith. I'm joined by the Coach King, and I'm also joined by Austin. And this is going into week 9 of the college football season. A lot of things are starting to kind of shake up. A lot of really, really good games last week. We're going to talk about two of them right now, and then also talk about some quiet seasons for some of these teams that have, I mean, really not gotten a whole lot of national recognition. But first off, I want to get into the LSU-Ole Miss game and the Oregon-UCLA game. LSU, was the game at Ole Miss? Is that right?
No, it was in Death Valley.
It was in Death Valley. It was a day game, right? It wasn't a night game.
3:30 game.
3:30, yep. Okay. CBS. And LSU just, to me, shocked probably themselves, but shocked a lot of people with not just beating Ole Miss, but beating them pretty handedly.
It was definitely, you hear the phrase, a tale of two halves. It was definitely a tale of two halves. It looked like Ole Miss was going to run away with the game. At one point, Ole Miss led 17-3 early second quarter, and I think the score going at half might have been like 20-17, something like that, I think.
Yes, you're right.
And then after the half, LSU just pulled away from it and just took off. I saw a stat where they outscored them 42-3 after that 17-3 lead. They outscored them 42-3. LSU did. That's pretty
42-4. You're right. I looked at it wrong.
Jaden Daniels had a day. He looked like the Jaden Daniels that people thought he was going to be. But I don't know.
248-2.
Yeah, I don't have stats. I didn't have those stats. Thank you for bringing that up. But I thought LSU actually looked really good. Ole Miss did not. And the cool stat about the cool thing I take away from that is, you know, LSU kind of holds the keys to their own destiny right now. They're in a bye week this week. Then they're going to host Alabama in an 8:00 kickoff in Death Valley.
That'd be a good game.
Which I guarantee is going to be a CBS night game. They get one CBS night game a year. It's usually LSU-Alabama anyway. So both teams are coming off a bye. Should be a good one. Then I think that will probably decide the West. Ole Miss still has an opportunity. They have to win out, but they still, you know, they still kind of control a little bit of their destiny too in a sense. They still win.
They have to win out and hope Alabama beats LSU.
Right.
Is essentially what that has to happen. Not only did Daniels throw for 248-2, but he also rushed for 23 times. 121 yards and, got that right, 3 touchdowns?
Yeah.
Wow.
The West is the new East.
Oh, wow.
If you look at it.
Top to bottom, I'd say you're probably right.
Top to bottom, yeah, it's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
This LSU-Alabama game has a lot of significance.
Yep.
Ole Miss still, you know, could play a factor. Obviously, that's not a good loss for them. But that Tennessee win in Death Valley looks a lot better now.
Well, that's my thing, is if you would have told me 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, that LSU would have a chance to win the West, I wouldn't have believed you. Not after the Tennessee game.
Well, for me, I mean, LSU, before Saturday, I would have considered LSU mediocre.
Like average, right.
Yeah.
Middle of the run West.
Right.
And I just don't feel like there's that many outstanding great teams in the West.
Going into last Saturday, I think I would have ranked LSU behind Alabama, behind Mississippi State, behind Ole Miss, obviously. Then probably throw them in there at 4, maybe. Am I missing somebody?
I don't think so.
Because they're not better than, I mean, they're better than A&M.
Right.
They're better than Arkansas right now. Arkansas is just trying to find their way.
Yeah.
Who am I forgetting? I'm leaving somebody out. Auburn. They're better than Auburn.
I'm just thinking right now. So, in the West, you have obviously for me, I say it's obvious, but for me it's obvious that Bama's won.
Yes.
I feel like you have to put LSU at the 2 spot now.
Yeah.
So, that would slide Ole Miss to 3.
I would say Mississippi State at 4.
Mississippi State at 4. Arkansas, A&M. So it just feels like there's not a whole lot of separation like there usually is in the West. I mean, there's always good teams in the West, but usually there's clear-cut separation, and there's really not this year.
Yeah.
Whereas in the East, I feel like it's Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah.
And they're completely separated.
I think now, Kentucky's in there.
Kentucky's
close
got a little bit of business going on. We're gonna see how much business Saturday when they come to Knoxville, but they went down to Ole Miss and got beat by them, and the LSU team just waxed.
It used to be the West was so dominant, but now I think it's more even.
Yeah.
As far as
– I'm not going to say the East is more dominant than the West. I'm
right.
Just, like you said, it's just more
the conference
even.
As a whole is more even now than it's been in a long time.
Yeah. You can see
– like, I genuinely do not know who's going to be in the SEC championship. That's the first time I could honestly
What's
say
crazy
that.
About that is you mentioned that. I think I mentioned this Saturday as LSU was beating Ole Miss.
Probably. I think I know where you're going with
2001,
this.
2001, Tennessee is in the SEC championship. We're number two in the country with a chance at a national championship. And LSU, we beat LSU in the regular season that year, beat them by a couple scores in Neyland. And then they ended up running the table. Well, they didn't run the table, but some things happened there in their favor. And they made it to Atlanta and beat us. And I think it was Miami. And I think it might have been Nebraska that jumped into that two spot.
That sounds right.
And so it would be kind of crazy to see that happen again. We haven't played LSU in the SEC Championship since 2007.
Yes.
That was Eric Angier. Now, of course, you know, that's all speculation. We got things on our own need to take care of for that to happen. I'm, you know, putting the cart before the horse there. But that would be a cool matchup. A Tennessee-Alabama rematch would be a cool matchup. Georgia-LSU would be in, you know, I mean, any of the possibilities would all be pretty crazy matchups. Very hopped up matchups.
Well, if LSU can keep Jaden Daniels off his back, they have potential.
Right.
If they can't, they go as Jaden Daniels goes. And that's you can say that about a lot of teams with their starting quarterback, but I feel like with LSU,
I think it's a little more.
You see that pretty obviously.
A little more accentuated in their
regard. Against Tennessee, it was constant pressure in his face. He couldn't even get outside the tackle box to use his legs. He didn't have time to go through a read and make a throw. So to me, it's I'm not surprised that they beat Ole Miss because I don't feel like Ole Miss's defense is really going to cause you that much havoc.
They're not that aggressive.
They're not aggressive. They're not very talented. I mean, defensively, Lane Kiffin's always going to have really talented offenses, but
and I think their offense is very good, but I don't think their offense has that home run hit like Tennessee's offense.
They don't have a really solid quarterback that Lane Kiffin's used to having.
Yeah, they're very reliant on the run game, and LSU did a really good job at bottling the run game up.
Well, that LSU that defensive line for LSU's got a lot of high draft picks, and they, I think maybe people didn't forget about it, but Tennessee a few weeks ago kind of made people maybe forget about it.
Right.
But if you look back to that game, though, Tennessee made plays through the air where Ole Miss
through
wasn't
the air
able to do that.
And the tempo does that to teams.
It does.
So,
well, tempo but, and scheme.
And actually, you know, Brian Kelly, which I thought was crazy, at the end of the game, you know, LSU just upset, you know, Ole Miss at home, fans storming the field, which I thought was kind of crazy, but, you know, whatever. And in the press conference, all he wanted to bring up was the Tennessee game. He talked about the Tennessee game. And I'll read just like a piece of the quote here. We weren't as far away in that Tennessee game as the score indicated. I went for it in the fourth down situations that exaggerated the score.
He can say that, but a lot of teams do that because the offense that Tennessee runs puts so much pressure on you.
But the fact that he's bringing that up after a win against a completely different opponent. What, 2 weeks later?
Right.
That's just, I don't know.
I mean, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. But, you know,
it's like he's already trying to make a case to the playoff committee and to the rest of the country when there's a whole season left to go.
Right.
You know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. I wasn't a fan of it.
No, I wasn't a fan of it either. Anything else for this game? Going to move on to Oregon and UCLA, and I'm just going to be honest. I did not catch much of this game, just bits and pieces of it. Oregon was at home in Eugene. The crowd was, I think, a factor in this, though, in the final score.
It was.
And also Bo Nix doing what Bo Nix is capable of doing.
I have stats here on Bo Nix since the Georgia game. Because, you know, that Georgia game really just kind of everybody in the country was like, oh, you know, typical Bo Nix. You know, yep. Oregon's terrible. Oregon's on a run. They're on a 6-game win streak.
I said the same thing, to be fair.
No, we all did. I did, too. I mean, we all did.
But that's what he had shown you.
And yeah, no, I agree. But they're on a 6-game win streak since the Georgia game, okay? Bo Nix, after the Georgia game, has thrown for 1,636 yards, 17 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns on the ground, and only thrown one pick. That's a pretty good stat line through 6 games.
Wow.
I mean, he's having a great season in Oregon. And the team is having a lot of success. Oregon is one of only 2 teams in the Pac-12 with 2 top 25 wins, the other one being UCLA. And both teams control their own destiny. Yes, UCLA lost the game in that environment, but UCLA wins out. They're in the Pac-12 championship against Oregon. I think Oregon, the only team they have left on the schedule that I think can beat them is Utah.
That's second to last game of the year.
That is, yeah.
And it's in Eugene.
Which is going to help.
Exactly.
UCLA has USC left. That's the game that I think, you know, should be circled for their schedule. I think if both teams win out, we see the rematch. I'll be honest, I said it Saturday after the loss. I think UCLA wins out and wins the Pac-12. I stand firmly beside that.
I'll say, so if Bo Nix can play to this standard, like I would have never thought after week one.
Oh yeah,
watching them in Atlanta get embarrassed by Georgia, that they could actually quietly be in a conversation of sneaking into the playoff. But if Bo Nix plays like that, then yeah, they have that capability.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I get that we crapped on the guy quite a bit. I mean, I know I did especially because he's either really good or he's really bad. So, but when I think about it, I don't know if you guys remember the Auburn Ole Miss or the Auburn LSU game last year, where it kind of felt like Bo Nix single-handedly just made plays and won the game for Auburn in Jordan-Hare. Like if he can be that Bo Nix, then Oregon's dangerous,
right?
But if he's not, then they're not going to win. I mean, they're just a completely different team. So.
Yeah. I think both teams have a really good shot at a playoff opportunity down the stretch. If either team is standing there at a one loss with a Pac-12 championship, you got to look at their resume and got to consider putting them in the.
I would agree with that.
In the playoff. If Oregon wins out, Utah will be ranked. I would imagine by that point, that would give them 3 top 25 wins. USC is going to be ranked. That would give UCLA 3 top 25 wins. They play each other, that would give them another ranked, you know, win, whoever. And I think UCLA has a better case because if they win out and then they beat Oregon, who's their only loss on the schedule, kind of the same argument that was Oklahoma a few years ago, lost to Texas, then went to the Big 12, beat Texas. So their argument was, well, we took care of our only loss on the schedule. Same argument. So I think they have a better opportunity. But either one of them, I think they both are great teams, and they, you know, we could see. I hope we see the rematch. Well, that game was pretty good.
I'll say this win for Oregon means a lot because I feel like their best win of the season thus far was BYU, and that's showing to not be as good of a win, as it was at the time.
Right.
And I know there's people out there that aren't a fan of that outlook on things, like a win's a win when you get it.
Yeah.
But I'm very much in favor of. A win can lose value as the season goes on.
I would agree.
I feel like you're being a little stubborn if you don't see it that way.
Right.
So.
I would like to see, though, Oregon go on the road and get a big win. I don't know if there's anything left that could do that for them. But, you know, they beat UCLA at home. They beat BYU at home. They did get the win at Washington State, which was great. But, I mean, you know. You know, I wouldn't really say that Washington State's that great of a win. You know, it was.
Well, I'm trying
3-point
win's
a
win.
3-point win at that.
Well, they should have lost. Right. They were losing with barely any time left.
Usually, Oregon gets a really good statement win. You know, at a Stanford, or something like that, and Stanford's just not where they're at. Yeah. I mean, that's just where they're at as a program. It's just not where they used to be. So
I just think back to the, was it a year ago or 2 years ago when Oregon went to the Big House, or not the Big House, but the Shoe up in Columbus. And
that was last year.
Was that last year?
Yeah, they embarrassed Ohio State.
That was a statement win.
Yeah.
That was a quality win. Now, not to say this isn't. I just want to see them go on the road. I want to see them go on the road in a hostile environment, or even a neutral site where you're not at home, you don't have your fans at your back. I want to see them win in that type of environment.
The remaining away games are at Cal, at Colorado, and at Oregon State to end the year.
Yeah,
the Civil War will be interesting.
It will be, but Oregon State's just, it doesn't do it quite as much as like a ranked Stanford.
I don't think it matters that much if they win, but they're like, Oregon State's a scrappy team, and like they could be on kind of an upset.
I mean, a win at Oregon State. I mean, you know, if that.
It's at Oregon State, yes.
It's kind of like a trap game, because I feel like if they win, you're expected to win, but that's a game that like you really.
If they're going into that and have lost any more leading into that, yeah, that's absolutely a trap game.
Yeah.
Those rivalry games, though, are
that's
always.
I mean, that's a big game. It's a big rivalry. So.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I'm going to move on to the last segment for today's show, and then we'll come back tomorrow with our game picks. But we're going to talk about some quiet seasons for some of these teams, Illinois, UNC, Tulane, and then I actually threw in, we were talking today, Liberty. I'm gonna pass this over to Jesse, because this was his some of his teams, and I agree with a lot of these. I don't know much about Tulane, but the other ones I know a little bit about.
Do you have a preference on which one you want me to start with here?
Start with North Carolina.
North Carolina. The only reason I included North Carolina, one, we got some love for the, you know, the Carolina Blue, good ties, Coach Brown, Sparky Woods, you know. But from where they were at the beginning of the year, we were talking about this team like, oh my gosh, they might not win an ACC game. They are currently 7-1.
Yes.
7-1, leading the ACC Coastal. They're ranked number 21. They host Pitt on Saturday. Considering where they were at, they almost lost to App State on the road. They almost lost to, I believe it was Georgia State on the road.
Yep.
You know, they have
almost lost to Miami.
Almost lost to my. They have struggled down the stretch.
Almost lost to Duke.
Yeah, it was. Now, I mean, Duke's actually looking like a pretty quality football team, but still. But I will say they've won. They're continuing to win. It is, you know, I'll quote, you know, the late great Al Davis, just win, baby, just win. You know, as long as you're getting a win, that's what goes on the record.
Right.
So I threw them in there just because of that. I hope they're able to win Saturday. Saturday, I think, is a real test, because Pitt's probably the best team they've played so far.
Well, I hate to quote Brian Kelly here, but October's for pretenders. November's for contenders.
Yeah.
Even though their win against Ole Miss was in October, idiot.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, he,
I feel like North Carolina's really benefited from a really cupcake schedule.
They have.
They should have gotten beat by App State. Well, they could have gotten beat by Duke.
Miami.
They're about to roll into the meat of their schedule. I think this Pitt team. This Pitt team has the makings of something that could.
Offensively, this is probably the best team they've played so far.
Then you've got Wake, Saturday. You've got NC State. Hitting the meat of your schedule here, so things could really go downhill pretty
they're
quickly.
They're going to Wake on November 12th.
Yeah, I would say the
those
two
games,
two,
this
two
Saturday, yeah, and the November 12th game will really tell the makings of this North Carolina team.
Well, they ended with NC State, so.
Yeah,
and they got beat by a Notre Dame team that's just not good.
I would agree with that.
I can't figure Notre Dame out. I really can't. Notre Dame is so up and down, I cannot figure them out. I can't tell if they're really that bad or they're A&M. They're essentially A&M.
Oh, they're better.
They're gonna come into a game. I mean, look at Ohio State, you know, and that was week one when nobody had anything going on. But they're gonna come into a game like this week, for example, you know, we're gonna talk about, you know, in our picks. I ain't gonna lie, I wouldn't be surprised to see them upset Syracuse.
Oh, no, I wouldn't be either.
I wouldn't be surprised to see them play tight with Clemson. And that's just, I don't know, it's just, I can't figure them out.
Well, and part of that, too, is.
No, I'm talking about Notre Dame.
Oh,
I'm talking about Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame is that up and down.
I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Clemson, because Clemson hasn't looked.
No, Clemson. I'm not high on Clemson.
I'm not either.
But
that's just my opinion.
All right. So moving on to Illinois. We talked about Brett Bielema before, and we said this when we talked about. When was it he got hired? A year ago in January, maybe. It was very early when we started this podcast.
That was 2 years ago.
When he got hired, we talked about Illinois football is about to be exciting.
Right.
And I use that term exciting loosely because they aren't a very exciting brand of football. But they're winning ball games. They're having fun winning ball games.
Right.
They currently are number 17 in the country. They lead the Big Ten West. They, too, have benefited from a very crappy schedule. Yeah, I'll say that, I should say it a little nicer than that. A cupcake-ish schedule.
Easy schedule.
But they've allowed the fewest points in the entire Big Ten. All of Big Ten. I'm including Ohio State in there. And Ohio State's had a pretty cupcake schedule, too. 62 points is all they've allowed all year.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody talks about Iowa's defense, and Iowa's defense is great. They are playing some phenomenal football, but they've even held opponents fewer. But the game I've circled there, November 19th, they travel to the Big House to play Michigan.
Yeah,
that's the true test. How do you do in that environment against that team? Even if they lose that game, which I think everybody expects them to lose that game, but if they're competitive, I think that's a really big check mark for Brett Bielema and the Illinois team.
Well, Michigan's not going to do anything crazy. They're just going to line up and
it's going to run the power. They're going to. I mean, they should and they do have a better interior offensive and defensive line, mm-hmm. and they're going to try to control the line of scrimmage and win the ball game. They're not going to get cute. You know what you're going to get with them.
It's exciting for me though because I think that Bielema's a really good coach.
I do too,
and
he's very old school.
It makes for a really good coaching search because he's not going to stay at Illinois for Illinois for, I mean, if he continues with this success, he's definitely like a Big Ten guy. He wants to stay up there, but I think it's interesting.
I think there's a
program. His name in the possibility of a coaching search.
There's a program right there in the Big Ten that's been looking for a coach and looking for success for a long time. Big brand.
Well, Wisconsin, I don't think is.
No.
I think that'd be interesting.
Bigger brand.
Penn State?
No. Nebraska. The Nebraska job is wide open.
Yeah.
And they need somebody to come in there. And that think about when Nebraska was actually good back in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. That was their brand of football.
Yeah.
Dominate you up front, play good defense, run the ball. That's his brand of football. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see his name mentioned for the Nebraska job. Now, I think there's a lot of other coaches, too, that would be great fits, but I think he really fits Big Ten football. So the next one I had here was I'm going to skip this last one because this last one I thought was really good. I couldn't believe it. I'm going to move on to Liberty. And, Keith, you brought this one up, so if you want to take this one, you can.
I
was kind of surprised by this Liberty team.
Yeah, Liberty's 7-1 with the only loss on their schedule was a 1-point loss to Wake Forest.
At Wake Forest.
Yeah, at Wake Forest. Now, the rest of their schedule is, we talked about with some of these other teams,
yeah.
Very cupcake-ish, very easy. But, a 7-1 Liberty team that should be undefeated and would probably be ranked in that scenario, I mean, that's just, to me, why is anybody talking about Liberty?
You know what's crazy about that? I'm going to sound nuts for saying this, but it's the honest truth. I watched both games, okay? I watched Liberty-Wake Forest. I watched Clemson-Wake Forest. Liberty dominated Wake Forest better than Clemson did throughout the course of that game. Liberty lost that game late. They should have won that game. They had that game in full control down to the wire and lost it late, which is kind of crazy. You know who that quarterback is for Liberty?
I have no idea.
Caden Salter. Yep.
Really?
Caden Salter. And he's looking good. Looking really good.
Now they have a big test this weekend with Arkansas. But, after Arkansas, they play UConn, they play Virginia Tech, who I would assume Liberty would be probably favored in.
Where's that?
Liberty.
Oh, okay.
And then home against New Mexico State.
Yeah.
So I could see them potentially, if they can take care of business against Arkansas, who hasn't looked the best recently, being 11-1 at the end of the year.
Did you ever think, beginning of the season, when we were looking at schedules, because I remember looking at all the schedules, and I remember seeing Arkansas on their schedule, but didn't really think twice about it. Did you ever think Liberty and Arkansas would actually be a game you would be interested in watching?
No.
I didn't.
I thought Arkansas was a contender in the West.
Absolutely.
I did too.
No, this game is in Fayetteville. So.
Matter of fact, I think I picked Arkansas to win the West when we did that, and I feel stupid for saying that now, but I think I did. But that'll be a tough one. That'll be what time is the kickoff for that one? Is it early?
4 o'clock.
Okay, I'll get to catch a little bit of that before the Tennessee game. That's actually one of the more exciting games this weekend. There's not a whole lot of them, but that's one of the more exciting. What's the line in that one, real quick, before we move on?
Yeah,
doesn't have a line. Okay,
at least not on ESPN.
All right, so last one. I don't know, maybe it won't blow y'all's minds as much as it did me, but it blew my mind. Because, one, they went so overlooked. Tulane is number 23 in the country, okay?
Are they ranked?
They are ranked, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this. They're ranked. Now, Tulane, you know, Tulane's had some pretty good seasons, you know, up and down.
Recently, they've been pretty good.
Yeah. Tulane is 7-1, okay? They lead the American Conference, which is the same conference that Cincinnati plays in. That, you know, Cincinnati has dominated for the last couple years. They have wins over ECU at home, the same ECU team that beat Notre Dame in South Bend, Houston at Houston. Now, get this one. They beat Kansas State at their place.
Really?
Those three wins right there, to me, that's a quality. Those are three really good wins for that program. They play Cincinnati, number 20 Cincinnati, and I'm sure both of them will be ranked higher by that point. November 25th, last game of the year at Cincinnati. And this is the way the American Conference is set up. I think you'll have to check me on this. Fact check me on this, Keith. I think the American Conference, they don't have divisions. I think they take the top two teams, kind of like the Big 12 and the Pac-12,
uh-huh.
And those two teams play. So, as of right now, Tulane and Cincy are leading that conference, American. I think this happened last year, actually. I don't know. But I feel like didn't Cincinnati and Houston play back-to-back weeks? They played each other last game of the season and then played the very next week in the conference championship. I feel like it was them two. Maybe somebody else. Somebody had that happen, though. But we're likely going to see that. We're going to have Tulane at Cincy, mm-hmm. and then the very next week they have the exact same game for the conference championship.
Yeah, they don't have divisions.
That's going to be – yeah, so then that's exactly what's going to happen. That's going to be really cool.
That is going to be cool. I didn't realize Tulane was ranked. I mean, good for them, but I have not paid a whole lot of attention to them, just personally.
They got some nice unis.
They do have some nice unis.
Who would ever thought that, too? You got – okay.
Well,
do you call that Carolina blue? It's a little darker than Carolina blue, isn't it? Like a powder blue, maybe?
It's like that really light green and the powder blue, yeah. And it goes good together. And
I would have never guessed those two
colors
would go good.
Looks really nice.
But it does. It goes good.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No. It's just not for me.
I think it looks good.
I think there's a lot better color combos in college football.
I agree with that. But I just think those are two. I mean, I think it's a good color combo.
I think if you're judging a team off of how they're doing with what they got, Tulane's doing pretty good.
Okay. That's going to be it for – unless you got anything
else. No, I'm good.
Anything else? That's it for today's episode. Guys, join us again tomorrow as we do our game picks. We'll be putting those out on TikTok and on Facebook. Guys, pick with us. Hit us up on our socials. Let us know anything that you want us to talk about or discuss. Guys, until next time, this has been the Gridiron Gurus. Appreciate it.